Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us today's show, of course, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors K, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving a beautiful Ford Fusion this week with a color scheme that is different.
It's new for 2015. Bronze Fire Metallic is the new color scheme for 2015. And this Fusion has the EcoBoost engine, 6-speed, plenty of power when you need it. It is a great midsize vehicle that has a lot of really cool luxury features. This particular SE model has the power windows, doors, the keyless entry, push-button start. And the thing I like about push-button start is you actually have remote start. So this morning when it was a little chilly, you just let it run for a little bit, got nice and warmed up, got warmed up inside, turned the heated seats on, and you were good to go. And you didn't have to worry about anybody trying to drive away with it because there were no keys in the vehicle at all. They couldn't even get into the vehicle. And you can't lock your keys in the vehicle either because the key fob has a proximity alarm on it. So if it detects that the key fob is in the vehicle, the doors won't lock. So you don't have to worry about any of those issues, along with having a great ride and gas mileage that is pretty impressive.
And I thought Bruno the guard dog was the key. How silly of me. All right, that's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tell them, hey, look, I want to test drive what Kevin Hur was driving this week.
And if you'd like to see it and see the details on it, go and follow me on Twitter at Kevin Hur, and also it's on my Facebook page. We have a link there for you.
Sounds great. All right, let's get to it. John Cooper, not the Ohio State football coach, but we've had John on the show before from SaturdaySouthernFootball.com. Joins us now. John, welcome. Great to have you with us again. Nice to hear you.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing very well. Well, it certainly has been an interesting run so far. Let's talk about the two Mississippi teams to begin with. For the most part over the years, with an exception here or there, they have been middle-of-the-road SEC teams. What has put each in a position, John, where now they're not middle of the road, they're considered Final Four material?
Well, I think first and foremost, it's an anomaly year. Coming into the season, the perception around these two teams that they're going to have a pretty good team. They both have experienced quarterbacks. They both return a lot of defensive talent. Both coaches have recruited particularly well there, especially Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. He had a top five class the last couple of years. So you knew the talent was there. I think Mississippi State's done a wonderful job of developing the guys. I mean, the quarterback is the highest in the front runner right now. Dak Prescott was a 3-star from Louisiana. Dan Mullen went down and got him. Darunya Wilson, who's a big-time wide receiver, he went into Alabama and got him. So I think the perception around these two programs coming into the season was they're going to have a pretty good team and they're going to have a pretty good year, but yet, you know, they would fall into the Mississippi trap of losing the games that they're supposed to and never really winning the games that they aren't. And this year's just an anomaly. Usually we see one of those teams kind of rise up, have a good season, while the other one is down, but you never see them up at the same time. So what that state is doing on the national level is pretty phenomenal. I think number one is identifying the prospects that can be good. Number two, it's taking that talent and actually developing it. And three, college football is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time for these two teams.
Florida State, of course, had its time last year and ran the table and won it. They were impressive. We know Jimbo Fisher is a very good coach and a very good game coach as well. Have you been surprised at how he is handling the pressure of how he handles the Winston? Not just this situation. I mean, this situation is an entity unto itself, and I understand where he's going with it. But how he's handled all the other situations that have led to this?
Well, I think certainly he's taken some criticism. You know, his his reputation has been under fire a little bit. Some people will say it's taken a big hit. You know, Jimbo's is an interesting coach. He's a Saban persona. He coached under Saban at LSU, obviously wanted to create his own ground at Florida State after Bobby Bowden named the head coach away and finally took over there. Jimbo's a good coach, but as we've seen right now in the rest of college football, it's all about the quarterback. I mean, these teams are good because they have great quarterbacks, and it's kind of trending a little bit like the NFL. With that being said, particularly to the Winston case, you know, sometimes it's better not to say anything than to say something. And, I mean, he's backing Jameis, and Jameis has been under fire, and rightfully so. I mean, he's said a bunch of things that shouldn't have been said. He's done a bunch of things that shouldn't have been done. And a lot of people say, well, he's just young, and he'll grow up. He's at college. That's how college kids act. You know, that's definitely not the case. He knows right and wrong. He knows what to do, when not to do it, and he seems to be doing all those things at the wrong time, especially in the middle of kind of the heightened era right now, Jimbo Fisher of Florida State. So, sure, I think Jimbo could have handled things a lot better, and obviously his quarterback could have too.
The current system allows you to go pro once you're done 3 years outside of high school. If he wants, he can go pro after the season is over with. He can almost wait out all of this, can't he?
Well, certainly. I think some people have mentioned that he could actually drop out of school before that happens with this legal investigation of what the school is looking into him as a student. Man, that's not the case, and there's no indication that's going to happen. He's going to be there. He's going to fight this, you know, tooth and nail from all indications. But I think with so much turmoil and you know, the target on his back from a media perspective and, you know, just some of the silly things and really dumb and irresponsible things that he's done to prevent this going forward, I really see him moving to the NFL after this season.
John Cooper, SaturdayDownSouth.com, joining us. Georgia, no Todd Gurley, no problems. Why?
Well, I think first and foremost, they recruited really well. And I think the persona around a star player like Todd Gurley, sometimes, you know, for lack of a better word, he can be a crutch, and he can be a tremendous asset to your program. I think he's been the best player in college football, no doubt. I think the Heisman race is probably, he's out of it now, obviously, with the suspension. But, you know, they haven't skipped a beat. I think the quarterback play of Hudson Mason has improved. I think the offensive line, knowing they don't have the big horse in the backfield, has improved their play as well. I think the defense has taken large strides, and they've been tremendously getting better throughout the season. Even before Gurley was gone, they've raised their play, knowing that they have to compensate for the perceived lack of production. And then you have a freshman named Nick Chubb, who may be the second best running back in the SEC right now. Over 200 yards last Saturday, 2 touchdowns. He has been absolutely phenomenal. He's a physical freak. And he is not afraid to run between the tackles and bully you around. He's one of those players, like Gurley, you just get tired of tackling in the fourth quarter. So I think it's not really one player that's done it. I think everybody on the team, and I think Mark Richt has done a phenomenal job this year, is facing so much adversity. He gets a lot of criticism in Georgia, but I think this year may be one of his best coaching jobs.
Auburn and Alabama. Obviously, the 14-13 win Bama had against Arkansas, and then Nick responded to that, Nick Saban. And then they came right back, and they took Texas A&M apart. Auburn has certainly had itself certainly within the mix of this thing. Where do you think that stands? And are you looking at that last weekend in November as one that determines a potential Final Four team?
I think so. I think what the SEC is looking at right now, and you know, we have to know that a lot of these teams play each other down the stretch, but there's a scenario to where you have all four of those West teams with a one loss. Now, there's a lot of factors coming into that, but you could see, you know, you could see the SEC West having on the line in the last week in the Iron Bowl, Auburn-Alabama match, and then in an Egg Bowl, Mississippi State-Ole Miss match. You're going to have a college football playoff elimination game in and of itself and how it stands right now. And if you particularly look at Auburn and Alabama, Auburn has the toughest schedule in the country down the stretch. They play at Georgia. They play at Alabama to kind of end the season. I'm not so sure Auburn escapes with one loss. I do think Alabama escapes with one loss. I think they beat Mississippi State in a couple weeks to give the Bulldogs one loss. So there are a lot of factors right now on the line each and every week, and these teams are going to beat up on each other, but I do think there will be a couple one-loss teams. One could be possibly going to the West, while the other one will have an at-large bid for the college football playoff. It's going to be real interesting.
John Cooper, SaturdayDownSouth.com. I broadcast Urban Meyer's last game at Florida. And usually when I do a game, John, I usually walk out, and the team that wins, I feel, is the team that wins. Rarely do I look at a game and I'll say to myself, you know what, Penn State lost that game. Rarely, but it happens. That was one of them. I thought Penn State actually had better personnel, but throwing five interceptions, I thought Penn State lost that game. So thus, I felt that when Will Muschamp came in, Urban left him with an okay situation talent-wise. What hasn't worked there?
Well, like we talked about previously, a lot of college football right now is about the quarterback and it's about the head coach.
Right.
And I think a large part of that is the lack of consistent quarterback play in the Will Muschamp era. Even when Florida went 11-2 a couple years ago, Jeff Driscoll was the quarterback, but he didn't really make that much of a difference. I mean, he limited the turnovers. That's what they asked him to do. They were very conservative with him on offense. So I think quarterback play is a big reason why Florida has, you know, year after year, they have an elite defense. I mean, they continuously, you know, shut down high-powered offenses. They've blown some coverages this year, which is uncharacteristic of a Will Muschamp coach defense. But I think more than not, it's been the quarterback play and the lack of impact of what we've seen from Jeff Driscoll. But that's the reality of the job. I mean, you recruit these players, you have to develop these players. He obviously inherited Driscoll, kind of. I mean, he had committed when Urban was there. Urban left. Muschamp still retained Jeff Driscoll's commitment. And, you know, I think the biggest reason is the lack of quarterback play during the Will Muschamp era of Florida.
Personality. Does his personality enter into this conversation about what Jeremy Foley might or might not do?
I think Will Muschamp is loved by everybody within the athletic department.
Right.
I think everybody has a real positive perception. I'm not so sure that personality. I think the way that he has cleaned up that program, there were so many arrests in the Urban Meyer era of Florida. They really created a bad name. Bull Gators, the big boosters inside the program, really wanted somebody to clean up the program. Will Muschamp did that. That's why, you know, he's been in a lot of corners. That's why a lot of, big-time donors have been in his corner the last couple of years, is because he has cleaned up the program. There's been a lack of off-the-field issues that have happened with Will Muschamp. So I think the reason, I think that actually bought him another year and this year, and that actually bought him another week after the Georgia game.
Right, and that's why I asked that question. I know in the Florida Athletic Department they like him a lot. The Big Ten and Oregon have put themselves back into this Final Four conversation. What is the perception of the Big Ten, and what is the perception of Oregon down south right now?
Well, I think the perception of the Big Ten is that overall it's a pretty weak conference. We've seen that the last couple of years. I think, you know, there hasn't been many minglings between the SEC and the Big Ten outside of Wisconsin, LSU in week one. I think the team that could do it is Michigan State. I know Ohio State is still in this thing. Obviously, with the improved quarterback play from the freshmen, I think Urban's done a good job this year. Losing Braxton Miller is a big hit. I think the perception is it's down, but I think as you look around the rest of the country, there's not a lot of teams that are up. There's not a lot of other conferences that are up. I mean, the Big 12 is beating each other up. And then you look at the Pac-12 and what Oregon's done. I think Oregon, if they escape and are, you know, become the Pac-12 champion, that you'll see Oregon in the Final Four. Michigan State's an interesting one. That's one to keep an eye on if they win the Big Ten. You could see them in a certain situation, but it really depends on how the SEC West kind of shakes out down the stretch.
What is one final question, John, I'll let you go. What is attendance like in the SEC right now? Are they selling out every game? Are there some empty seats? Are there some no-shows? Sometimes, you know, we're up here and we see our situation. What is that situation down where you are?
Well, I think for the most part in the big games, the LSUs, Alabama's, the LSU Ole Miss this weekend, those are going to be sold out. I mean, we've seen capacity crowds. Texas A&M set a record this year for the most attendance in the state of Texas. They set a record in the SEC with the expansion of their stadium. So I think for the most part, while attendance around college football has struggled, I think it's maintained. I'm not so sure it's increased in the SEC, but I think it's maintained near capacity, near 100%, which is good. I know, attendance is a big deal, not only around the country, but in the SEC, and they're always working to improve those matters.
John, it's always a pleasure. Thanks a lot for carving out some time for us.
Take care, guys.
John Cooper with us. By the way, I got a description of your car from Drew Kelly.
You did?
He's very impressed.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, he's very impressed.
I know. He likes the Fusions as well.
He's very impressed. He said the color matches you. And I think that's really impressive.
I'm third place. I'm not quite at the pinnacle yet, but I'm third place.
Sure. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We want to see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia is out to break their all-time new Kia sales record in a month by discounting their entire new Kia inventory to levels never seen before. Sunbury Motors Kia has 21 all-wheel drive Serenos with discounts up to $4,000 starting under 24 grand. A mid-size four-wheel drive SUV under 24 grand is unheard of. Sunbury Motors has the gas-sipping Kia Sportage starting under 23 grand. Remember, we're here to break records this October with discounts never seen before. During this record-breaking month, you can buy a brand new Optima with no money down for under $370 per month. This is a luxury Kia sedan with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty for under $370 a month. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com. Must qualify. Special team. CAMF incentives applied.
Few minutes from the bottom of the hour in news. Tomorrow, our high school football wraparound. We're going to have all of our announcers on tomorrow that will call the games on the Valley Eagle 107 WMLP. And, of course, Kevin here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikalimi's playing Danville tomorrow. Kevin's already excited about that game. They can all travel together as a family to it.
I think this should be an interesting game, too, and I'll talk more about why tomorrow.
The audience is hanging and waiting.
That's called a tease.
Well, I'll try and work up some interest 24 hours from now. Okay. Do you think it was that intriguing I'm going to hang on for 23 hours?
I think it is. I think you're going to come back in 23 hours or less to find out exactly what I was talking about.
The difference is they have actually purchased my services to come back and listen to you say this in 23 hours.
So at least I have one person interested.
Well, I think it's a great matchup, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Here it is, the next to last Friday of October. What does the playoff picture look like today?
Pretty clear in AAA. Double A... That's always kind of a mess.
It's almost always clear in AAA. It's rarely muddled in AAA.
It is. AA, that's a big, big question mark right now with a lot of different possibilities going into week nine.
The difference is there are many more AA teams than AAA teams in the Valley.
Absolutely, and you have eight teams that end up going to the playoffs as well. And that really opens the door to a lot of possibilities. Like Lewisburg right now, they're looking for the possibility of playing a home game in the District 4 playoffs in the first round. But they're almost a must win the next two games.
And what does Shikalimi need to do?
Shikellamy right now is a 3 seed coming into this week, so they are not going to get a home game. It's not going to be really possible unless a lot of things fall into their hands perfectly. I just don't see the points being there. What they're hoping for, though, is to not make an opening round trip to the number one seed, which right now looks to be Jersey Shore.
Well, the team you made fun of at the beginning of the year.
Who, by the way, are undefeated this late in the year since first time since the 40s. That's how excited they are about Jersey Shore football right now, because they're talking historic a season right now.
You made fun of them in the second week of the season.
Did not make fun of them. I just said it would have been it's the first time they were 2-0 to start the season since the 80s. It was not making fun. It was just a statistic.
And they posted it on the bulletin board and put your name next to it.
Well, it came from the athletic director.
And you took the bait.
Oh, brother.
Now look at them. You're an inspiration.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. It's a Wednesday. We've turned the corner toward the weekend. High school football, our preview with our four announcers tomorrow at 3:35. Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, tomorrow at 4:06. World Series Game 2 tonight, last night, all San Francisco winning 7-1. But in baseball, momentum is all based on your next starting pitcher. That's momentum in baseball. Who is your starting pitcher tomorrow? There's your moment. And can they produce? Kevin, not interested because they played 3 games in July.
You know what? I did not. I watched highlights, but I did not watch the game last night.
I watched it.
I'm
a sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. It's just, it was not must-see TV for me.
Well, that's the problem they have. It received an overnight 8.0 rating, which is the lowest for a game won ever, and 2 points below the open for the Red Sox and St. Louis. But then again, the Red Sox and St. Louis are more national brands, maybe not more so than San Francisco, but certainly more so than the Kansas City Royals.
But, you know, I like the Kansas City Royals story. I mean, the fact that they haven't been there in 29 years? I mean, I like that. You would think that would intrigue, make me, you know, interested enough and intrigue me enough to watch it. It just, for some reason, didn't.
You can't even name any.
Kansas City Royals?
Yeah.
No, I didn't say I could.
Well, they start getting intrigued that much, I don't know who they are.
No, I never claimed that I could watch, that I could name them. I'm just intrigued about the fact that it's a team that hasn't been there in a while.
Well, they just need to be Compton, because I think they have a possible mound advantage tonight. Jake Peavy has pitched, by the way, very well for the Giants since they acquired him from the Red Sox. He's a very emotional pitcher, but he can also be a little bit up and down for you. The Ventura kid can pop it at nearly 100 for Kansas City. And again, can they make it a 6-inning game? Last night, they couldn't. Hunter Pence hit the 2-run homer last night. The Giants got out early, often, built a lead, and by the time the game got to the 7th inning, the game was essentially over. Madison Bumgarner was outstanding. No surprise, he always is in the World Series. Before, I'd made a statement when John Lester was traded to the A's, I said that this is the best big game pitcher in Major League Baseball over the last 7 years. I will now amend that and say that Bumgarner is the best big game pitcher in baseball over the last 5 years. He has been that good. He's been that good. And He was outstanding last night. Big 2008 postseason. And his ERA reflects that. I was not surprised. But he got squeezed a little bit last night. But that's a big difference between a finesse pitcher and a power guy. Finesse pitcher will try to paint. And suddenly if they're painting and not getting that edge they're hoping for and have to move the pitch 2 to 3 inches to the right of that or to the left of that, now you have an issue. Power pitcher, which as you know I've said repeatedly, that power pitchers are the ones that in the postseason, they're the ones that succeed. They could throw the ball over the plate. Over the plate, and it doesn't matter because the movement is so impressive on the pitches, it's hard to catch up with. And that's the big difference between a finesse guy and a power guy. Finesse guys, you can get away with it. Look, if that's your style, that's your style. But at this time of the year, you need to be able to just pop that ball anywhere and be able to get a result. Bumgarner does it, and Shields does not. That's last night. Ventura is more of a power pitcher tonight. He'll attack it. Peavy's a power pitcher too. He'll go at it. He's not a finesse guy. But the next three pitchers the Giants run out there are all under 500 guys. You know that? For the year. They're all, I think, a minimum of four games under 500 for the season. So again, it goes back to, can the Royals make this a six-inning game? Can they be the team in the lead at the end of six innings of play? Or better yet for them, be the team in the lead at the end of 5.5? They're the home team tonight. Because then they go to the big three, Herrera in the seventh, Davis in the eighth, and of course, Holland in the ninth. That's it. That's tonight. I will watch tonight. Kevin will not. He'll be watching Real Housewives of Sealsboro.
Oh, no. Survivor. Wednesday night, Survivor night. Now, I'll flip back and forth between the commercial breaks or something, maybe.
Survivor.
Uh-huh. John Rocker's gone, by the way, on Survivor, who was a guest on the Steve Jones Show about a year or so ago.
Survivor.
Those comments were really haunting John Rocker, even on Survivor. Somebody recognized him, remembered the comments, and it just went viral from there.
You're going to watch Survivor.
I even texted you the night he got voted off.
And the response you got was what?
What I usually get, crickets.
I guess I didn't respond to that one.
No, you didn't. Did you see that the Florida coaching job is up on Craigslist right now?
So what?
I think it is tongue in cheek, obviously, but I think the way they wrote it up was kind of funny at times because they said. Ability to win games against glorified high schools and junior colleges, a.k.a. cupcakes, especially when the contest is held on the university's own campus. That would be a plus and a requirement for the job. Also, some of the other requirements, that you not be a graduate of the University of Georgia and that you cannot have the last name Zook. Okay. I have to admit, I thought it was kind of cute and funny, all right? And I guess he has a good sense of humor about it, too, because sometimes you just have to if you're a head coach.
You have to, but you know what? Here is the issue I have. I realize it's done as a joke. I understand that. But you know, I am never fond of playing games with someone's livelihood.
I, And I get what you're saying, but this is a job, though, that you know the territory when you're hired or when you get into it. That's like saying I'm a race car driver. Right. But that's like saying I'm a race car driver and you don't recognize the not opportunity, but the chance that you may not come out of the race car alive.
Okay.
I mean, that's an extreme difference, but.
Remember former Packers coach Mike Sherman?
Yes.
I had a long talk with him last night. And we talked about this very same subject, which, of course, he eventually went to Texas A&M. And Texas A&M has a very vocal fan base. And it, you know, and people having opinions about what goes on and so forth. It's interesting because I had said to Mike, I said, you know, I said, I did the Alamo Bowl. You did not coach. He goes, oh, geez. Because that Penn State played him. Penn State played Texas A&M, and he was fired, what, 2.5 weeks before the Alamo Bowl. So he, you know, he did not coach against Penn State. And we were talking about this, you know, and as funny and as much as you say it comes with the territory, you'd be amazed how the person that's under attack doesn't think it's that funny and doesn't think it comes with the territory.
I mean, I see the point of view, but that's like saying the job that you and I do, that we don't realize that there's going to be negative comments sometimes posted again. Well, I mean, yeah. You never had that problem, but...
Well, no, but see, the difference is I don't care.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You have to be thick-skinned. You have to know that going in, that this is going to be a job where you're going to be scrutinized every second, and you're going to be, you know, that's like being the president of the United States. Saturday Night Live is going to bust on you. They're going to make fun of you at times. I think you kind of have to know that going in.
Yeah, but there's a difference between busting on him and making fun of doing a parody and calling for his head.
Well,
calling for his job.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
There's a huge difference between scrutiny. Okay, you know, should James Franklin have gone for the fake punt against Michigan? That's fair game. That's scrutiny, debate back and forth as a, you know, well, I think this is what he was trying to do. I totally disagree with it. They're playing a field position game. That was not the right judgment. I wouldn't have made. Okay, see, you know, that's fair game about a game decision. It's fair game about what you're doing with the quarterbacks. But it's totally different to me when you've got people calling for your job. That, to me, is the part that bothers me. Where they can complain, you know, if somebody wants, for example, to go out there and say, they think I'm a terrible play-by-play announcer, I'm the 14th play-by-play announcer in the Big Ten, you know, out of 14 and blah, 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 blah. You know, okay, people are entitled to say that, you know, but are people entitled to say, I think I ought to be fired? Well, that's none of your business.
You know, well, but I've said that.
That's between me and management.
And see, that's the thing. That's the kind of view you should have. Because I've said the same thing when it comes to Todd Haley many times. I think Todd Haley should not be the offensive coordinator at Pittsburgh. I said that. But quite honestly, if you're Todd Haley and that bothers you, then you're spending way too much time reading and not enough time working on the offense. Or listening to a radio program in Central PA with a guy who has never coached.
Yeah, but see now that also comes into play. You don't know what his job entails. You have zero idea.
Absolutely right.
Right? None. Zip zilch. You know, I have no idea how many hours it takes for him to do his job. It could be 10. It could be 100.
I just know, like in any other job, though, you need results. And when you don't see the results, usually something has to change. That's all I'm saying. I just think where you're coming from, and I'm not disagreeing with you.
You make a bold assumption that the young people he's coaching know what they're doing.
Well, that is an assumption. You're right.
No, I'm not joking about that. I'm not here to defend Todd Haley. That's not my job. It's just I get uncomfortable when people start calling for other people. Hey, I ought to fire him. Really? Well, maybe they ought to fire you from your job. Well, I can't. I can't afford to lose my job. I've got to make a mortgage payment. I realize these people are making a lot more money. And I realize it is a decision of management to sit there and say, look, what's the product on my field, and is it affecting me in terms of my attendance, and is it affecting me in terms of the kind of team I can put together? Right? But that's a management decision, just like it's a management decision as to whether or not we continue with this show. I get very uncomfortable with they ought to get rid of them and fire them. Now, look, your record speaks for itself. If you put together three straight 2-12s, okay, you know, guess what? Okay, you are, for the most part, what your record says you are. Right? So if you put together like three state 2-12s, believe me, you're sitting in there in your office saying, not even I would keep me on.
And I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying by any means. I just think that if you're bothered by that, if you're the coach or if you're the in this position and people are asking for you to be removed and it bothers you, then you probably spent too much time reading what's being posted on the internet or what's being printed in the newspapers or what have you.
I disagree with you. Okay, I mean, how do you want? Do you want to go to work every day, where everybody is calling for Kevin Herr's head, and you're sitting there now thinking about every stinking thing you're doing? The best things that the best results in life happen when you are able to close yourself off and you're able to just use your own instincts and your own knowledge to do something. I mean, if I had to pick someone who was my mentor in my career, it would be Gil Santos, who for over 40 years did the New England Patriots. And I worked with Gil for 4 years. I was the third announcer at Penn State. He was the play-by-play announcer. This is exactly what he told me, and this has always stuck with me. And I think this goes to any profession, any profession. I don't care whether you're doing this, you're working in insurance, okay, you're working for a state job, whatever it happens to be. You will get to the point in experience and your knowledge of your job and how things work that you will be the first person to know when you've done it right, and you'll be the first person to know when you've done it wrong. You don't really need somebody else to tell you. We'll come back with more. He's stunned. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And your record says who you are in the end. Sometimes there are mitigating circumstances that happen, so they have to be taken into account. And do coaches lose their jobs? Sure, just like players lose their jobs as well. Is it a highly scrutinized thing? Sure, it's highly scrutinized. And I don't mind people sitting there and saying, look, you know, should you run a fake punt at this particular time and so on and so forth? No, I never would have. I would have played the field position game. Absolutely. Man, I get a little uncomfortable, though, when people start calling for other people's jobs. I mean, yeah. How about we go over to the insurance company and we call for your job? That'd be a lot of fun, don't you think? No? Not a good idea? Let's go over to Geisinger. We'll start calling for some jobs. That'd be great. I know that makes for very poor talk radio. I understand that.
That's exactly what I was just thinking. Like, were you trying to get us out of a job here, Steve? Way to go.
Well, you call for everybody's job. You get so impatient. Everybody's got to go. Hey, Haley tomorrow, then it's going to be Tomlin.
I'm not ready for Tomlin yet.
Everybody except for Troy.
Well, and Ruben tomorrow.
And you want Ruben tomorrow out. Hey, I know I'm the fun sucker. I've got that.
You have no idea. You have no idea.
But I also think that it's important to bring a level of common sense to the job. If that entails sucking the fun out of the room for you, okay, then so be it. I know that these people are making a lot of money, and they also have wonderful clauses in their contract where there's buyouts, and they will continue to get a lot of money. I understand that. I'm telling you, for example, with Will Muschamp at Florida, Urban Meyer did not leave the program in the best of condition when Will Muschamp took over. I know I did his last game. And Jack and I stood back and looked at, out there. Penn State lost the game. I mean, Penn State should have won that game 30-something to 17. They lost the game. You know, they fouled up on a fake punt, threw the five interceptions, the whole thing. All right? So Florida, quote, won, but Penn State lost the game. The two of us walked out of there. I remember getting on a plane that night and flying to Detroit, because I had to do a game in Ann Arbor the next day for basketball. I remember talking to Dick Girardi. We're going from Detroit Metro over to Ann Arbor in the car. I think I landed like a 12:31 in the morning. And he said, "What do you think?" And I said, "No." I said, "I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer quits." And why? I said, "Because you know what?" I said, "He's actually taking the program like two steps backwards." That's what Will Muschamp inherited. Well, tomorrow we'll come back. I'll talk sports. Kevin will call for jobs. It's what we do. We'll preview high school football tomorrow and talk to Paul Keels, play-by-play voice of Ohio State.